Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and I got a special guest on the line for an interview today. I got Nathan Riddle. Nathan, how's it going today, buddy?
It's going great, James. Thanks for having me on the program.
Man, no problem. My pleasure. I know you're at lunch right now. You're at work, and you got a day job, and you actually race mountain bikes and do pretty good at it. So for those people that don't know about you, just give us a little background. What do you do? How'd you get into racing? Just kind of let us know what your story is real quick.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So my day job, you mentioned that. I work at United Bicycle Institute, which is a school here in Ashland, Oregon. We have a school in Portland as well, but I basically teach people how to work on bikes all day long, 40 hours a week. I have a family. I've got a little 2.5-year-old son, Ripley, and so he is a awesome dude, and he likes a lot of interaction, so he takes a lot of time as well. And then after those things, I'm also a pro racer, so I go train when I can and go to the races on the weekends, and summertime gets pretty busy, so it gets pretty hectic in the summertime as far as training and balancing out family and work and everything. But that's where I've really been focusing on the training and making sure that the hours that I have, which are very limited to put towards that, really count. That's a little bit about me. In my history, I've been, I'm 35 now. I've been racing bicycles since I was about 20. Actually, I raced a little bit of BMX when I was a teenager as well. I've been into riding bikes my whole life, ever since I was 5 or 6 years old. I've been on a bike quite a bit. Also done some running in there as well. But most of my biking when I was a kid was on a BMX bike, and I rode that BMX bike. My family, we've always lived outside of town on little mountain roads and gravel paths and dirt paths and stuff like that. So I rode my BMX bike like a mountain bike, like people ride mountain bikes now. So basically, I was riding a single speed,
fully rigid
bike on mountain bike trails when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And then I gravitated towards mountain bikes when I was about 15. I got my first mountain bike and got way into it. And started racing when I was 20 and kind of worked my way up the ranks and eventually got to be a pro-level rider. Mostly downhill, but I do pro cross-country as well. But my focus has turned more into super D and enduro racing. It's kind of like the perfect blend for me, I think.
Yeah, that's something, that's a real big trend in mountain biking. I get a lot of emails from guys who are getting more into the super D and enduro type events, and so that was one of the reasons I want to get you on the phone today, because quite a few people know who you are and follow your stuff, and so you probably got some good insights on that. But real quick, what kind of draws you to the super D and enduro type racing? Like, what is it that really connects with you with that type of racing?
It's a really cool side of the sport that's really growing right now, and I think a big reason for that is that everybody connects with it. It's what everybody wants to do when they go on a mountain bike ride. All right, you go out, you ride your mountain bike, you have some climbing, you have some endurance stuff to keep you honest, but really you're kind of looking at the downhill side of things. I think most mountain bikers are like that. Your brain sort of gravitates back when you think about your ride. You think about the climb, you thought, oh yeah, I put in a good climb, it was a good effort, it was hard, I earned my turns. But then you really spend most of your time thinking about the descent side of things, all the cool corners and the jumps and the great little rhythm and flow sections you hit. And that's where my brain anyway, kind of gravitates, and I think a lot of people are like that. And I say that because that's really the essence of super D and enduro racing. You're taking mostly downhill stuff, not stuff you need a downhill bike for, but something you take your everyday bike out on, your mountain bike. Your bike you go ride the trails on. You climb a little bit on it, you descend a lot on it, and you're really pushing your limits on both sides. So I really like that aspect of it. I love climbing. It's great, but descending is just so much fun. So
yeah, nice.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of why we connected and kind of I felt kind of hit it off when we talked, first, because that's definitely what I feel my training lean more towards. There's definitely a difference between mountain biking and road riding on dirt, and I'm not trying to like insult anyone out there, but there's definitely a difference between those two things. And so kind of that mountain biking side that throws in that, I guess, that pucker up factor, a little kind of get that adrenaline rush side of it. I know exactly what you mean. That's what appeals to me about mountain biking too. And so so good. So I guess give us a little, you and I got hooked up through Mark Jordan at Decline Magazine. Why don't you kind of set that up, because you you know, you mentioned you got a lot of stuff going on, and so at one point when you didn't have as much stuff going on, you were able to train a certain way, and then things kind of changed as your time demands changed, and then that kind of set up us starting to work together. And so why don't you kind of let everybody know kind of what you were able to do for training and what kind of you were looking at needing to do and kind of how we got hooked up together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it used to be, you know, sky was the limit as far as training. Okay, I worked 40 hours a week. That's always been kind of a case for me, whether it was the bike shop or other jobs I've done, but always worked. But then I had tons of free time after work. My wife was super flexible. You know, she did her own stuff after work too. So, you know, I get done with work and I could spend 2 or 3 hours going for a road ride or going for a nice long mountain bike or whatever I wanted to do. So I kind of tended to do a lot of that, long bike rides, and I'd push myself pretty darn hard during those rides. And that worked out pretty well for me, and I was getting, you know, good results, the kind of results I was looking for. And then things shifted. You know, we had a kid, and that took my freedom limits down many, many notches. So the work is still full-time. You know, the family, though, is almost, that's a full-time job as well. So my training time got chunked down to just hours a week, basically. You know, you're looking at the first year, I might get 5 or 6 hours a week training time, kind of the most, maybe 1 or 2, 1.5, 2 hour long rides in there, and then just lunch hour rides. And I kind of started thinking about it and thinking about, you know, first I'm like, oh God, this is, I can't ever train enough. I can never do this with this amount of training time. Something's got to give. And then I started thinking about how many people there are out there that are kind of in the same boat as me in terms of you want to extract the most performance you can with the time you have. And a lot of people don't have that much time. Right? A lot of people have a family and have a job, and they want to go race their bike too, and you just don't have that much time to do everything. So I started thinking about how to maximize the training time, and that's when, you know, I really have been seeing your articles in Decline for a long time, but that's honestly when I really started thinking about it more. I was like, you know, I'm limited for time here, and I think that James could do a really awesome job with helping me with the limited time I have to maximize what I'm doing in that time and getting me a little more disciplined with what I'm doing. And then we started working together. I started applying more of your techniques, and everything I do now is pretty intense. So it's either intervals or it's core work and floor work and weights and stuff like that, with the occasional recovery ride built in there. But every ride has a purpose. Every hour I have to train, which is, again, like maybe 5 or 6 or 7 hours a week, all those hours have a purpose built into them.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent, man. Yeah, that was, you know, pretty much, you know, when we first talked and I was explaining, like, you know, there's, you know, you, if you tell me that you've got 4 hours a week to train versus I got 4 hours a day to train, you got to, you know, take a different approach to training. So, you know, that was great. And so I sent you that first, you know, basically I sent you the dumbbell combos program. I mean, anybody can pick up that same program and put it to use as well. It's a really great intro program because you didn't have a real strong strength training background before we started working together, right? All right, so we had a little phone malfunction there on my end, and so we lost Nathan there for a second. But yeah, Nathan, so you're just kind of explaining how some of that core work that you had been doing was making you a little more aware of how you're holding yourself and moving on the bike and kind of helping with like lower back fatigue and low back pain?
Yeah, so even just a week into it, like 1 week into it, I started noticing my back more. It wasn't that I was noticing it was stronger, I just was thinking about it more, being aware of like, oh, I used to slump, but now I'm trying to really keep it, you know, in a different state, and I could feel more power in my pedal stroke just by merely shifting the angle of my back, which is something you can do if you have strength in your back. It's not something you can do if you haven't been working on it. So weeks 2 and 3, I actually started feeling more strength, and I could hold that posture and that position longer, and I could just feel more power in the pedals because of, it's a weird thing, but just simply the angle of your pelvis and your back, again, because the core is there, can support that angle, you can extract more power out of your pedal strokes, and it's, you can keep it up for longer too. So I started noticing more and more of that, and then that coupled with the intervals I was doing really was taking my riding to a level that I was really stoked with. Getting some really great results kind of in the early springtime races I was doing. And then I hit this time in the year where I hit a race. I had 6 races in a period of 5 weeks or something like that. You know, one was in the middle of the week, and I had just 1 week after the next, had a trip to Switzerland, which was awesome. But to be honest, that and mixing in full-time work and full-time family when I was home, mixing those things in, I slumped on the core work. Hate to say it, but I did. And it was a great experiment. It was a great thing to learn. And what I learned was slumping on that core work made my riding slump too. So my riding kind of started to suffer from it. That and some travel schedule all kind of compiled, and it made life a little rougher on me. So definitely an interesting kind of thing to see, kind of the beginning where I was at, and then the core work and the intervals, kicking those in there, and they both supported each other, I noticed as well. So if I wasn't doing as much core work, the intervals became harder and harder, and I wasn't recovering from them as much. And then, yeah, so anyway, there was kind of a mid-season slump that happened, primarily because I was not able to stick to my schedule with all the traveling and all the work and everything. I was too tired from all that stuff to keep doing that. So it's kind of a downslide with that. But it was totally me not following that part of the program at that time. But I did see a definite difference between following it and getting great results and feeling awesome on the bike, and not following it as much and slipping a little bit and having my riding slip as well. Very, very much linked there.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you know, that's it definitely is tough to fit the training in, and that's kind of one of those things during the season that's real easy to do, and I'm guilty of it myself. I mean, I'm certainly not perfect, but you know, that's exactly right. I mean, when I'm not hitting the gym consistently, I can start feeling my left knee that I've, you know, had some problems with start talking to me again, and I can start feeling my low back get sore after rides. And so nothing motivates you to get your butt back in the gym and get after it again, and starting to see some of those initial results that you experience start to go away. So so yeah, no, that's a real common thing. Like I said, it even happens with me. So but you know, the important thing is that you saw the connection there. So I'm real excited to work with you this off season. I think that's going to be you know, another thing that's really going to help, because you know, we were a little limited in time, got hooked up with you a little towards the, you know, the middle of the off season last year. And so you know, get you stronger, and you'll probably find that you're, you know, results stick around a little bit easier when the season starts getting harder, because you know, strength's a big factor. But well, excellent, man. Well, that's some great feedback. You know, out of the programming, was there any particular exercise or exercises that you liked, or you got a kick out of learning how to do?
Yeah, so this is going to be pretty telling as well. So in the beginning, the things that I disliked the most were the things that once I'd done them and I got stronger, I liked the most. And one of those things was the Turkish get-up.
Oh, yeah.
That thing, I struggled with that so much in the beginning, and I kind of hated it in the beginning. I was like, oh, this is, you know, I don't want to do this one. And I stuck with it, and I got stronger with it, and I started feeling all my muscles kind of kick in and my flexibility kind of kick in with it. So I think that was one of the ones that I didn't like in the beginning, but it was simply because my body was kind of rebelling against it, and I liked it a lot once I understood it more, once my body kind of wrapped around, I got stronger with it. Yeah, that was one of them. Another one, too, that was, I think, really, really beneficial, I think I was feeling a lot on the bike, was the back arch. So you're on your shoulders, you got your knees up, and then you kind of are raising and lowering your feet, extending your feet. It really hits those muscles right along your spine. It's the spinous erectus muscles right back there. I could totally feel those getting stronger from that one too. So those ones, I really felt like they were kicking in for that strength, that seated pedaling, a lot.
Nice.
And I think as a cyclist, you know, if you're just doing road miles, you're just doing spins on your mountain bike, we just don't do enough upper body stuff. We don't do enough shoulder strengthening and mobility in that area. Another thing that I got a lot out of was the back, basically the shoulder bar.
Yeah, the arm bar.
Really kind of, yeah, the arm bar. And I really got some stretch out of that one. I really pinpointed some areas in my body, my lower back area, that were real tight from it. So I think that area, that one really exposes a lot of weaknesses in your body. Just merely, it's kind of a flexibility and mobility test. But
yeah.
But yeah, it definitely showed me some, definitely highlighted some things that were not exactly in great shape before.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's kind of funny, because you probably noticed that at first I didn't have you doing a whole lot of weight. It was more about, you know, gain that mobility, gain that basic core strength, gain some movement awareness, because you know a lot of times for riders, it's we almost got to take you know the brakes off. I mean, you know, as a mechanic, like you know somebody comes in, they're like, I want to go faster, and their discs are bent and they're rubbing really bad. I mean, what's the first thing you're gonna do? You know, you're not gonna suggest they get a new wheel set or you know add anything. You're probably gonna suggest like you know get your brakes to stop rubbing, buddy, and you'll probably go faster. So,
Yeah, exactly.
you know, same thing with the body. If you've got things tight, like that arm bar, like you're mentioning, you know, if you know that your upper back is tight, you know, your core is not functioning right, you know, you've kind of got your brakes are rubbing a little bit, so it gets those brakes to release, and then when we start adding stuff, then it works better. So, you know, that's one thing I wanted to, you know, compliment you on is your open-mindedness and willingness to, you know, try this stuff, because I think a lot of times I've had more than one rider, you know, email me. It's hilarious. They're looking at it and they're like, you know, are you sure this is all I need to do? Or, you know, this looks too easy. And it's like, dude, just do it and you'll see, man. It'll start to make sense. So
Yep, I think a common one probably for, I'm guessing that riders kind of do that response you're talking about is probably the squats, the unweighted squats at first.
yeah. Yep.
Those, the bench squats, I mean, those ones are like, yeah, I'm a cyclist, my legs are plenty strong, I should be using weight right away. But no, it's really important, like you say, to get just the motion down before you start. If you weight a wrong motion in the beginning, you're just going to build muscles in bad ways and hurt yourself. But if you learn the motion first, and then you add weights as you've learned that motion, then you're going on the right track.
Yeah, exactly, man. As an athlete, you have a specific way you want to move on your bike, and if you're not practicing and reinforcing that in your training, then you're not going to see it on the bike. And you know, I think it's one of the reasons more mountain bikers don't appreciate strength training, is because they get in the gym and they do the wrong movements, and then they get on their bike and they're like, "Well, I don't notice any improvement." And it's like, well,
Right.
you know, you didn't learn how you wanted to apply it.
Yep,
So,
I think that's it, totally. That's what I've
excellent.
done before. I've kind of been, you know, seen minimal results and not really focused on things that really needed to focus on, so.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, I guess, man, that's great. And I mean, if you don't mind, I'd probably like to get you on again at some point here in the future. And as we're getting into our training, and maybe just do kind of some updates on what we're doing and stuff like that. But you know, before we leave, you got any words of wisdom for the Super D Enduro racer? I mean, anything that you feel has kind of helped you be able to, you know, succeed at the level that you have?
Okay, so in addition to the training that you're going to do, I'd say mental training and mental preparation is equally as important. I think if it's really tactical thing. You know, there's a lot of climbing, there's a lot of descending, a lot of corners, a lot of rough sections. So obviously the same things apply for every kind of bike racing. Equipment matters, you know, what kind of tires you're going to run, all those things are a given. In addition to that, though, mentally what I like to do is I like to be able to get to the race, you know, a day ahead of time or even 2 days ahead of time. You know, I'd like to be there a week ahead of time, but work and family and stuff like that, I can't do that. But I'll go at least a little bit early, and I'll take a helmet cam, and I'll do a helmet cam footage of the complete course, and I'll download it on my laptop, and I'll watch my helmet cam on a laptop, you know, kind of as many times as I need to get certain trigger points in the course figured out and the rhythm to the course figured out as well. All right, you got climbing, you got descending, but where do those things happen? You know, do you have a bunch of climbs in a row with short descents and no recovery? Do you have one long climb at the beginning with lots of recovery afterwards? Is it all downhill to the final, you know, final little bit? And so I'll try to get kind of a pacing in my mind set up as well. So my mind is ready for it, my body's ready for it, my bike is ready for it, and nothing comes up as a surprise during the race that throws me for a loop. I'll even go so far as to try to get my footage at the same time of day as when the race will be. So if it's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll do footage at 10 o'clock in the morning so that the light and the shadows are all the same. So I try to get it as wired as possible, have everything ready to go, so I have few things to think about on the actual race. Now that's kind of a luxury item. Not everybody's got a helmet cam or a laptop to be able to do that with, but that's something that I like to do, and I feel like it's been really beneficial for me. And I'll even take that footage. You know, a lot of the times I race the same course year after year, and they make slight modifications, but I'll take that same footage, and in the wintertime when I'm on the trainer, and you just can't, it's just too nasty to get on the trails, I'll slap that thing in the laptop, and I'll sit on the trainer and pedal along to it and kind of try to memorize the course more. I'm a very visual rider, so it helps me to have these visual trigger points. that's my big word of wisdom there, is just kind of researching the course a little bit more.
Yeah, so it sounds like your preparation, you feel, makes a big difference for you.
I feel like it does. You know, the first time I'm on a course, it's often I'm not the fastest on it. You know, I'm not the fastest I'm going to be on it. But once I start learning, a lot of corners look the same. Sometimes you have to hit the brakes, and sometimes you don't. And it's nice to know if there's a visual trigger, like, oh, there's that tree, I don't need to hit the brakes for this corner. Or, oh, there's, you know, there's this dip or this big rock on the corner of the course, I really have to hit the brakes for this corner, even though it looks like the same corner as the previous one. Because just being smooth on the bike is a very good way to save energy, and you can throw that energy into the next little climb or the next aggressive downhill section. So I try to save energy when I can, and then use it as much as I need to when I need to.
Nice.
Just thinking about pacing myself so that my energy level is done at the end. If it's a 20-minute race, I need to pace myself accordingly so that I am done at 20 minutes. I have nothing left. If it's a 50-minute race, then I need to pace myself so that, you know, I've got a little bit more for a little bit longer, but by the end of the 50 minutes, I've spent it all. It's all gone. Otherwise, I could have gone faster somewhere, harder somewhere.
Nice, man. No, that's great. I mean, that's kind of something that they goes along the lines of something they mentioned in my RKC certification. If you start hard, then your finish will be easier. You can finish easy and or start easy, and the finish will be hard. So sounds like you put that preparation and stuff in on the front end, and it makes the actual race itself a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, mentally easier. Physically, it's still going to be pretty rough, but mentally, it becomes there are some things that I can not take for granted, but not have to worry about anyway.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. Well, cool, man. Well, I really really appreciate your time. I kept you a little bit over the 15 minutes. I promised I'd direct you or keep you from your lunch break there. But thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, great.
And yeah, man, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of riders get a lot out of this. And like I said, we'll probably have you on again here and get some more training insights and stuff from you. So appreciate your time.
Awesome. Well, thanks, James. I appreciate you having me on your program. I really appreciate it. So, look forward to being on again.
Excellent, man. Well, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and I'll talk to you guys next time.